Isn't it beautiful to have touch with the mind of Jesus? How he can explain things and try to win over his opponents at the same time. He's saying, who I am and what I represent is new. And they could have said, well then, tell us, what's so new? And he could have told them. They never asked. And you'll find this so many times. In another confrontation, healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do. Then you're some kind of doctor? Yeah. You see, he tries to pull them to win them over, and they won't go. And they won't go. That text, he's alluding to a text in Exodus where Yahweh says, I am your healer. And they're bright enough to know where that, if they said yes, where it could go, and they won't go there. But let's work on the letter to the Hebrews. We have a lot of time today. No, we don't. But this is one of the key passages in the letter. It's about priesthood. See, Jesus is a priest forever. Why? Because he's interceding for us all the time and blessing us with all the blessings of the Father, including this Eucharist. And so he lays down the principles. Every high priest is taken from among men and made the representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now that priest is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset with weakness. And so, for this reason, must make offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. Now he's going to apply this. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather, and now he takes two key psalm verses already well known in the Christian community. One from Psalm 2, the other from Psalm 110, and the resurrection Psalms. So, the one who said to him, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. That's resurrection, right? Every time that verse comes from Psalm 2 in the New Testament, what is the day when Jesus becomes the Son of God? Not metaphysically, but in his total humanity, the resurrection. And that's why this line is a resurrection line. And then, he says in another place, the one to whom he says, you see, you are my son, he also says in Psalm 110, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Everybody knew that these lines referred to somebody important, somebody to come. And this mystic sees it and says, these verses in our tradition, inspired by the Holy Spirit, describe Jesus. And now he goes on to talk about his priesthood. In the days of his flesh, literally, the days when he was in the flesh is okay. Now you see, every high priest, you see, offers gifts and sacrifices. He offered Jesus prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. The perfection of the whole sacrificial system is in his body, in his psyche. It's here, you see. To the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Didn't he die? So what does he mean? Well, he never stayed dead, for one thing. He was saved from death. And the other, is the notion that death has to do with sin, and he never sinned. So he was heard because of his reverence. Efsivia, which means also, you know, reverence, obedience, submission. That is the heart of the Lord's priesthood and every other priest ordained after him. Submission to the will of the Father. You see. Now it gets even more daring. Son though he was, he learned obedience. How can he learn obedience? He's the Son of God. Learned obedience from what he suffered. See, and that's another great... Now that first part is the Jewish tradition. Now it's the Greek philosophical tradition. The two words to learn in Greek is mathin. That's where we get mathematics, right? And the word for suffer is pathin, where we get, let's see, what do we get from that? Well, later on in the spelling it becomes passion, but it's a... See, mathin, pathin. And that's an old Greek proverb. Unless you are involved in mathin, you will never pathin. If you don't suffer, endure, experience mathin as well, you won't learn anything. You see. So son though he was, now we're talking about God. He learned obedience. He experienced what it was like in his own flesh to be obedient to the Father. And he learned it, you see, through what he suffered. And then when he was made perfect at the resurrection, there's an allusion there. I know this is not a Bible course, but I want to help you get into the mystery here of Jesus' suffering, and it's life-giving. See, he was made perfect means he was ordained. I can't explain all that right now, but in the book of Leviticus, to ordain a man is to fill his hands, that is, give him something to offer. It didn't make any sense in Greek, so they changed it to this teleion. Man is made perfect when he's ordained. Huh? And now that he's been made perfect, he's the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. He is the source of our eternal salvation. And by the mercy of God, one day we'll gather in heaven and remember this. He was made perfect. He was ordained a priest. And that's why he's the source of eternal salvation. He's praying for us all the time. At the very depth of the church, down deeper than any human mind can go, is Jesus Christ. Praying. Supporting. This is why Paul says, remember in the Philippians, let this mind be in you unto death. Death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him. And that hymn is put there in Philippians as a call to unity. The source of unity in the church is the fire in the heart of Christ, who is at the very depth of the church, giving it all life. And so, he was in the flesh, and he suffered in the flesh, with loud cries and tears. That's the agony in the garden. And you see? And he was heard, because he's raised from the dead. He's alive. He is the master, the Lord of the world. And he loves us, and he comes to us in his word, in his body and blood, because he is the one who is the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him.